thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
So we're really excited tonight to welcome Dan and Naomi to the platform. Let's give them a big round of applause too. They're two of our own, and it's so good to have you both with us. Just wherever you're comfortable sitting will be great. Yeah. The better looking one beside me. Oh, look at that. He's only showing off, so he is. He doesn't do it at home, Naomi says. You've got the wee mic there somewhere, have you? I think you're maybe sitting on it. You're okay. Indeed. Great job. So on the theme of having young ones taking part tonight, it's really great to have you on the platform. Starting off on the right foot here. I hope you brought your PJs tonight, because Naomi's got a whole lot of images, and she emailed hundreds and hundreds of slides. So she told her mum and dad to bring the PJs and just make themselves comfortable. So, it's a real privilege to have you both up here tonight on the platform, and to hear a little bit more of your story. Obviously, I know bits and pieces of it, and some people in the church might know some of it. There's maybe a few might know all of it, but probably a lot of people don't know a lot about your story. So if you don't mind, we'll start with Dan. So we will. Tonight we'll put him in the hot seat. Dan, the man. Dan, you're not from this neck of the woods, are you not?
No, I don't have a mic near me, no.
You can leave those wee images up, they're fine for a wee second.
No, I'm not, no. I'm from the UK, and I turned from the dark side to the light, and I came over and met Naomi. Well, my story begins 1 or 2 months before I was born. The bump that my mum had was a bit bigger than it should have been, and they wanted to do some scans to see what was the issue, and then they wanted to test out my kidney functions to see if they were working or not. And what my mum and dad were told, that if I had no kidney functions, I would be dead in 3 weeks. And once these tests were done, they found out that I didn't have any kidney function. And then the options my mum and dad had at the time was to either do a cesarean or just let nature take its course. My dad's an accountant, and he asked the doctor at the time a number on it, and the doctor said 95% chance that myself wouldn't survive the 3 weeks. And prior, the doctor asked in the weekend to have a think about it and then come back and make your decision. Prior to this happening, my dad was woken up with a voice, as clear as I'm speaking to you, Paul, as just saying that the baby is going to be all right and God will be glorified. Amen. And with him knowing that, they wanted to get me out as soon as possible and for them to do what they could to keep me alive. Then after I was born, they checked on me regularly, and then they found out that I didn't have a kidney on my right side, and they wanted to know where it was. So they opened me up. I mean, I can't imagine being a parent. You just had your child born, and then they're being opened up to find stuff. It can't be easy to go through that. Eventually, they found it in my left side, to just underneath my lower left, and they took that out. But with that, my ureter doesn't work, so I couldn't go to the toilet, and then I had to go there were loads of operations where things needed to be done. And then I think I finally got like back to being a kid, a few years young. And then I think I had a bad. I might have had a catheter. I don't know if that would be what I had, but I remember a photo of me just with a red badge. And then it just said on the photograph, "This is the last time you'll ever have to see me." Which, thank the Lord, that that was the place. And then at the age of 10, I had a stent fitted in, which basically made you go to the toilet without any problems, really. I mean, it hurts when you have it done, but apart from that, and then I get that changed regularly every year. I probably had more operations than hot dinners, to be honest. I can't remember how many times I've had this done, and praise be to God that I'm here to be able to tell you that. And it's not going to be the end. I don't know what's going to happen to me as I get older. Will the stent will work, or if I have to have something a bit more permanent, I don't know. But I know that I've got God. I mean, that song we were singing, the first song, he won't fail. He won't. He won't. So I've got nothing but gratitude, and I thank God for what he's done in my life and for what more to come.
Lovely. Isn't that a lovely start to a testimony? Naomi, I know you're really bursting to get this mic. Are there some slides that you want to show first or anything, or will I ask you?
So,
yes. Okay.
I was just going to talk about my upbringing.
Yes, please do, because you're a local lass, of course, aren't you?
Well, localish.
Localish.
Dungannon, so Tyrone woman. You can see on the screen there, teachers and their PowerPoints. I have three brothers, so there's a couple of photos there. I've got Andrew, which is just a few years younger than me. I've got Nathan, and then I've got Matthew there. So plenty of rowdiness in my house growing up, and I suppose you could say that I was maybe the mother of the family, keeping them right, keeping them under control. You can see my mum and dad there on the photo, and they're here tonight. My dad was a farmer, so I got out of all of that farming life, which was good because I had three brothers. So,
And then you met a farmer.
And then I met a farmer. Well, that was that was my dad's joke at our wedding, that I said I never wanted to marry a farmer, but here we have it. God has a sense of humour, just like the rest of us. I was brought up in a Christian home. I went to Nakani Baptist, which is in Ballygolly. I don't know if anybody knows there, but we were sent to Sunday school, Bible clubs to learn about Jesus. Knew from a very young age that Jesus died for me. I went to a very small country primary school. I think there was only maybe eight others in my class. So some might say I was quite sheltered. I was quite naive about the outside world. And then I went to the Royal Dungannon, which was much bigger. So I was, my eyes were definitely open then. Me being at school, as a teacher now, I can say that I was a teacher's pet. I was very quiet. Some of you might not believe, but I was very quiet. As the saying goes, I wouldn't say boo to a goose. And I had a small, close number of friends, Christian friends, and I sort of stayed in my own little bubble. I was never top of the class, but I tried my best. I worked hard, and I didn't know what I wanted to be as a career, but I think if you ask my teachers then if they thought I would have been a teacher, they probably said no, not Naomi. I was very quiet, and God works in mysterious ways. Here I am. That is my upbringing. We've also got our first little baby there. You can see our little cockapoo on the screen, Lily. She's definitely a little baby, isn't she, Dan?
Yes, dear.
Yeah. He spoils her more than me, so I don't know why he's saying yes, dear. If I say anything, she comes running to Dan for protection, I think. So yeah, that's how I was brought up.
Fantastic. Did you say the dog was called Lily?
Lily.
So who's the boss in the house? Is it Dan or Lily or Naomi? Naomi.
He wants to go home in one piece tonight, don't
you, Dan? Yes, he's getting quite good at this, isn't he?
The next slide has some photos of Dan, if you want to talk about your family, Dan.
Yes, who's that good-looking baby on the top left? Oh, wait, that was me. Never mind. My upbringing, yes, I was born into a Christian family. I went to the same church. I went to Sunday school. I went to all the youth events that were going on around the UK, like the gathering and just being a part of my church. When I, because of what happened to me, I thought, well, God's already gave his life for me. He's already saved me. There's no doubt about that. Out of every baby who's been lost, why did he save me? There has to be a reason for it. And I thought, okay, Jesus, take the wheel. I would like to say that after that, it was all rainbows and unicorns, but I sinned. I've made mistakes. I probably will still do. But I've got God, and God is all you need.
That's the school teacher coming out. Do you see that?
Yes. On that wedding photo, that is my dad, my mum, which you met at that meeting, Paul?
ELS, the Elim Leaders Summit in Harrogate.
Yes. Then that's my little niece there, Thea, bless her soul. And then on the right, that's my sister with Thea and Maeva. Lovely kids. Can't wait for our own. Really?
And we'll come to that shortly.
Sorry.
It's okay. Keep the mic there, Dan, so it's back. You're on the spotlight again. So how did you meet Naomi, and did she play hard to get?
Yeah, she did, actually. I thought she wasn't going to show up. So we met the unconventional way online. There was this Christian dating website called Christian Connections, where I paid subscription and Naomi didn't. So I was like, hey, beautiful, how are you doing? And then I just got an automatic response. I was like, oh, well, then I'll just add you on Facebook. And then from that on, the first chat we had lasted for 5 hours, and I was like, oh, there's some promise there. There's potential there. And then the first meeting we had was in Birmingham, where I waited outside the Bull's Head, and I think I was waiting for an hour, and I thought, okay, is she ghosting me? Was I being scammed? But in the end, she did show up.
Do you want the mic for that?
But then after that, there had to be a reason that I had this connection, and at that moment in my life, I was in a bit of a rut. I was in a part-time job living with mum and dad, and I felt like I needed to be shaken up. And then we decided to move to Cheltenham to see what can be done. And there were definitely trials and hardships, but I believe it's made us stronger, made our relationship stronger, and made our faith to God stronger as well. And then I proposed in 2017, said some lovely stuff that I can't remember, but I did. Has anyone seen Friends? Who's seen Friends? Anyone? So Bruce Willis, you are a neat guy. That was me in the toilet before I proposed, because I needed to do something. I needed to psyched myself up.
Thank you so much, Dan. You're out. You really are. So, Naomi, what attracted you to Dan, apart from his obvious good looks, his humour, his personality, his money, and the automated response? Was it love at first sight?
Well, Dan turned up in Birmingham outside the Bull Ring. I don't know if anybody's been to the Bull Ring or not. He had a backpack on. I called him Backpack Boy. That was later on, obviously. His clothes weren't like what he was wearing now. I've sorted them out. I'm sure a lot of women have done the same. But I think it was definitely what you were saying, his humour and silliness. There was never a dull moment. And the good looks. If you move on to the next slide, you'll be able to see us on our first date. So we look like babies up there, but on the left-hand side, that was our first date in Birmingham. Soon after, Dan was thrown into the deep end and met my mum and dad at my graduation. So there he is, acting the fool as always. And then you can see 2017, we got engaged. Dan got down on one knee in a restaurant that we love in Cheltenham. So that was lovely. And then 2019, we got married. So, yeah.
Fantastic. So I want to find out a wee bit about your journey with Jesus, but I don't know if you need to tell us when you moved here. Would that be part of that, or do you need to explain that now?
No, we'll do the testimony.
She's keeping me right here, just a typical school teacher. So, Naomi, sorry, it's Dan now. Beg your pardon. So, Dan, very simply, how did you come to know Jesus as your Saviour? I know you've told us that you were brought up in a Christian home, but how did this happen for you personally?
I thought I just owed God. I mean, I wanted to know more about Jesus. I needed to know why I was saved. Because when you have a miracle as like that, there has to be a purpose towards that, and I wanted to know what that purpose was, and because of the upbringing that I had, I wanted to ask Jesus to my life, which I did. And then, as a commandment, you're meant to get baptized, and I did. I was wearing a Man United shirt, which might be why it looked like I was drowning when they actually put me in. And then my dad was there as well, but he wanted to keep me in a little bit longer, just like, come on, it's my son, just let me look like I'm drowning him. But I just I loved God, and I just wanted to see what he had for me and why he saved me. And with what we're talking about today, I think I'm hoping my testimony and our story will help someone here, or someone watching, or if you know someone who is needing a miracle. Sure, mine happened 35 years ago, but God's still the same today and forever he will be. Yeah. And if anyone wants prayer for a miracle or for anything they need, I'll be happy to pray with you. Because once you've got God, you've got someone who you can fall back on time and time and time again.
And what age were you when you came to that decision? I know that you said that you felt you owed God, and you know, your life was spared, and you had questions like, why me, why not someone else? But so, can you remember what age you may have been?
I remember getting baptised at 12. That's when I remember that, okay, I've had the talks about what God's done for me, not kidney-wise, but what he's done on the cross. I mean, kind of like, that sermon you said this morning, all the S's of what he's done, that hits hard. I can't think of anyone who would want to do that for me. All that pain, and even having to carry the cross as well as going through all that. There's no one that's going to love me as much as for someone who can do that. And I wanted to love him in return and become a Christian. I wanted to thank him. He died for me. He paved the way. He bridged the gap for what sin did. And now because of what Jesus has done, I now can step on the bridge and I can be saved.
Marvellous, thank you. So Naomi, when did your journey with Jesus start? And likewise, what would you say to someone who isn't yet following him?
Mm-hmm. Okay, we go on to the next slide there. Next one. Yeah, so as I said, I was taught at a young age that Jesus loved me and died on the cross to save me from my sins. Every night before going to bed, my mum and dad would talk to me about Jesus and pray. And at the very young age of 4, with the help of my mum, one night before bed, I prayed that little chorus. I don't know if anybody's seen it before. So into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. A very, very simple words there, but you would say that maybe at 4 years old, I didn't really understand, and I probably didn't understand fully at that age, very young, but I knew that Jesus died for me, and I had that childlike faith that developed as I grew older. I'm just so thankful that Jesus died on the cross to forgive my sins so that we may all go free. There's no greater love than this. On to the next slide there. So another verse. Sorry, one after that. No, I don't know where it is. The well-known verse, John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So I, along with a lot of people in this room, have the security of knowing that when we die, our spirit will go to heaven. And for me, that is the greatest comfort. No matter what we face in life and what we have or don't have, whether it be money or cars or houses, whatever it might be, it doesn't matter because it is only for this earth. And it'll all be taken away when we die. So I don't have the fear of dying because I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven, and after death is eternity. So in my life, I must admit, I haven't been the perfect Christian. And to be honest, I don't know if there is a perfect Christian. We all make mistakes. We all have sinned. I was so quiet. I struggled to tell people about God. And as I said earlier, I sort of stayed in my own little Christian bubble, went to Scripture Union and went to Bible clubs and Sunday school. I also needed reminded to be prayed, to pray and read my Bible. And thankfully, I had people in my life, my family and everything to remind me of this. We all make mistakes in our lives, but God is there if we humbly come and forgive. There's no too big a crime or too big a sin. God has taken it all. Jesus has taken it all. God sent his Son to the cross to take all of his sins. So if there is anyone that is in that position and thinking that they may have gone too far, maybe sinned too much, there's nothing too much for God, and he will forgive all sins.
Amen.
If you remember anything from this, if you are an unbeliever, Jesus loves you. Jesus died on the cross for you. He gave his life so you can be free. If you can't remember anything from this, please just remember that.
I was just thinking, Naomi, you were saying a number of times that you were very quiet. Obviously something's changed, which is lovely because you unashamedly are encouraging people to follow Jesus. So thank you for that. Dan, over to you. Once again, this is your last question. You'll be glad to know. So you've trusted Jesus all your life for healing. How has the journey been in trusting for a baby?
Yeah, that's a definitely different ball game, to be honest, Paul. But this all started when we moved into Northern Ireland in 2019. I won't go into the gory details, but as a man, I feel like I failed, and we had to go through the IVF route. When COVID hit, we were waiting for 2 years. To do tests, to do spit and bat, that and that, and it wasn't nice, to be honest. You think as a man, you've got one job, and if you fail in that job, you feel a bit inadequate, to be honest. But while this was going on, the first prayer line that we had, we got prayed with Wes and Mark, and we told them what was going on, what we were trying to do, and it couldn't have been two better people, to be honest, to pray with. And then a few weeks after that, in our life group, we got a word from Florence, who told me that she received a word on that that day, saying, tell Dan, believe and you receive. And I've been holding on to that. I've been holding on to that word. I'm still holding on to that word because it's not over. The best thing about this testimony thing is, even if you get the outcome you want, it's not going to end. I'll be praying to be thankful that we've got our child, and I'll be praying for our child. I will also, and our testimony will go through the people watching this right now. Everyone's got a testimony, and it doesn't matter if it doesn't sound as big as Sister Bucketmouth or Brother Thundermuffin, but it's a testimony. No testimony is big as someone else's. You can tell people about it, and you're going to change. You might not change the world, but you will change someone's world. Naomi's going to go a bit more into what happened, but on a male perspective, it was tough, but I stayed strong for Naomi because I needed to. There was no question about it. I needed to be strong to Naomi to support her. Because what I'm going through, she's probably going through it worse. As the husband, I felt like it was my responsibility to look after her, and I hope I have done a grand job.
Do you want to? Yeah. So congratulations. In Dan's words, one morning in one of his prayers, you are with child.
Per Mark. Thrown in the deep end that day.
Per Mark.
Anything, I didn't know he was announcing it that day either, or that he would come in tears and yeah, all the rest. He didn't even know either.
So yes, please, if you can give us your perspective.
So obviously, it's a very personal story to Dan and I, but we're willing to share, and Dan's said a little part about it, that we're willing to share to give glory to God. I will go into detail, and that is just for the glory of God. We're not, bumming and blowing. It is all because of God. God stepped in our lives. And hopefully I won't get emotional. So Dan, as you know, Dan and I got married in 2019. I got a job in Dalriada, so we were both over in England. Dan had no choice, bless him. He packed his stuff and we took a lorry backpack with us, or a few backpacks over the water. Yeah, you would admit yourself, Dan's such a home bird, and that was a big thing for him, big thing for anybody, but if his family was here, they would agree that he's such a family man, he would never move out of Burton upon Trent. But here we have him 4 years later, and he's still here, and he's still alive. So, yeah, we go over to England quite a bit, and my family, our Dan's family, would come over, brace the cold weather in Northern Ireland, and come and see us. So the stereotypical next step whenever you get married, I suppose, would be to have a child, be with child, as Dan calls it. But for some, unfortunately, it's not as easy as that. You can't just say one day I want to have a baby and it happened. So unfortunately, that was us. We knew there was something not right in 2020, so the year after that we got married. We went to the doctor, and as Dan said, we referred for tests to see what was going on. Of course, COVID had just started, so there was a backlog from that. So we waited a long time. For me, I'm sure Dan would agree, but each week seemed like a month. Every month seemed like a year. And we just wanted answers. How to help the people on the other end of the phone, because I was ringing constantly. But they would give an automatic response. You're on the list and you will find out in 2 to 3 months. And yeah, for someone that wants to have a baby, it's not something you want to hear. I would say Dan would agree. I'm not the most patient at the best of times, but yeah, that I really struggled with that. So we travelled to Belfast Fertility Clinic for appointments, scans, tests. At one point, actually, they thought there was no way that we could have a child together, and that we might have to go down the donor route. But God had a way. No problem or no obstacle is big enough for God. I have a wee, maybe not. I'm not going to know if this, there, God will make a way. There seems to be no other way. He works in ways that we cannot see. He will make a way for me. And I would sing that song whenever I'm feeling low. And there was many a day that I was feeling low. He held me closely to his side with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way. And yeah, some days it got to me more than others. I was feeling very down. I have depression as it is, and it just took a turn for the worst. I had to go to the doctors, increase my medication, and some days were very black. But God has taken us through that, and thankfully Dan has been there every step of the way, and my family, so I thank you for that. We were diagnosed in 2022, and we were finally put in the waiting list for IVF, a type of IVF called ICSI. The waiting continues. With it being two years since we knew there was a problem. As I said, my mental health was suffering. Every time somebody would announce their pregnancy, it would hit me like a ton of bricks. It's awful as a Christian to say that, but it would. Any mother out there would know what I'd be feeling. I should have brought tissues. It felt so out of reach. Thank you. And you thought Dan was the crier because he cried on that, like, that day that he announced, but yeah, here we go. I did say it would be emotional. So it felt out of reach every time someone would ask, you're next, or when are you going to have a baby? It was like a dagger to the chest. Dagger to the chest. And if anybody else is going through that, please know that I'm here for you to talk to, because it's the most loneliest thing ever. I only told a select few people. Even my dad, who's here tonight, is probably having the shock of his life, because I literally told him a few hours ago, just to protect him, really. So my mum has been there every step of the way. And Dad's family have been great. And I will stop crying, sorry.
It's okay, you're doing great.
Read my Bible. God gave me many verses which helped me. One that frequently came to me was Isaiah 60, verses 22. When the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen. And that came up quite a lot, actually. For me, the time was right 2 years ago. You know, why are we still in this position? But I was frustrated, but God knows best. He has a perfect plan for each and every one of us, and his plan is perfect. So I surrendered my plan to him, because he knew exactly what was going to happen. With infertility being such a taboo subject, as I said, I felt alone. I feel like I couldn't tell many people, and only a select few closest to me. Even to this day, some of my family don't know, my brothers don't even know, and as I said, my dad only found out a couple of hours ago. So I find myself going onto Instagram, following accounts, joining Facebook groups with people that had similar backgrounds, so I just reach out and talk to others who were going through the same thing, which really helped. So every time we thought we were nearly there, we're around the corner, another curveball or obstacle would come. We had more tests, delays. During this time, as a woman, you take things into your own hands, and I was starting to get frustrated. We started to research private options, which are expensive to say the least. You're talking 10 grand in Northern Ireland, so... that was not doable for us. Many people recommended Greece, so I looked at that. It was a more advanced, affordable option. So I had online consultations with possible clinics there. It got to the point where I chose a clinic. I was starting to organise medication at the end of 2023, but couldn't help to think, what if we were just around the corner and the NHS were going to... give us our top of the list letter. I was in turmoil what to do. I actually got down on my knees one day at my bed and prayed to God, guide us, Lord, what you want us to do, which he did. Sometimes when you're at the end of yourself, God steps in to save you and help you, and that is what he did. So in January of this year, we got our top of the list letter, which was amazing. It felt like an answer to prayer. And as Dan said, we went up in the healing, one of the first, I think, healing services that you had, and we got prayed by Wesley and Mark. So I think these two maybe play a part in this. Little did you know. And then, as Dan said, Florence was behind us. We were up at the front, and Florence was behind us getting a word from God, which we later found out. So... believe and we receive. We were so grateful that she shared this with us. It gave us so much hope the next few months, and we hung on to the promise from God. After more delays, there's a theme, we finally started in April, which involved tablets and injections. I was nervous, to be honest. It's not every day you have to inject yourself, but each one made us feel that we were one step closer to baby farmer. During this time, we went to the clinic for scans to check on the progress and how I was responding to treatment. Everything looked fantastic. It was all going to plan, and we travelled home praising God with a big smile on our face. Later on, Pastor Paul actually gave us a Psalm. I think it's somewhere in that PowerPoint, Psalm 115, to encourage us, which talks about trusting in the Lord. And he will bless you. So in verse 14 and 15, it says, may the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. So that is another confirmation of the promise God gave us. At the end of May, there we went for egg collection, which I was petrified for. But when I came round, I was told that I collected 12 eggs, which made it all worth it. That's 12 chances of baby farmer, I thought. It felt like this was achievable. We still relied on God throughout it all. We had to wait until the next morning to see how many had fertilised, but the doctor and nurses said we had a really good chance of success with the number of eggs that we collected. So the next day, at what seemed like forever, at 11 a.m. I rang, but I knew from the sound of his voice it was not good news. He said not to worry, but only one has fertilised. But we still had the chance of pregnancy. I broke down on the phone. I couldn't believe it that out of 12, there was only one. How could this happen? I got into bed, I cried. My mum was in work, so I rang my mother-in-law, bless her, and she cried with me and then reassured me that God was in control. We needed to pray over these little cells, so that is what we did. A song that she gave me was Waymaker, and I'm sure everybody knows it. He's a miracle worker, promise keeper. He gave us promise, and we must believe he can do it. So after about half an hour of tears, I decided to pull myself together, and we just had to be hopeful and trust in God that these little cells would survive overnight. So normally they let the cells develop and transfer on day 3, but they were keen to do this on day 2 because there was only one. It was better for them to be basically in me rather than in a lab, in their natural environment. So we had to ring the following day, which was another 24 hours, felt like the longest 24 hours of my life, to see if they survived. We found out the next day that thankfully those 2 cells had multiplied to 4, which is exactly where they needed to be, and they were good quality. Praise to God. Praise to God. I had visions in the night that we were left with none and would have to start all over again. We were ecstatic, weren't we, Dan? And then we had them transferred on the 1st of June. Now, it was even more waiting and the grueling 2-week wait. Women, you know what I'm talking about. We kept busy, positive, and decided to test early. At first look, we thought it was a negative, but looked closely and there was a very faint line. We couldn't believe it. The next day it was stronger and we were over the moon. Only God could breathe life into those 4 little cells. It hasn't been easy since. I still have my doubts. But with each scan, I felt more and more confident that Baby Farmer would make it. And now I'm 26 weeks and we're excited for arrival in February. I just want to say thank you for anyone who's prayed for us and our situation. We really appreciate this. You know who you are. I'll not say names because I'll miss somebody. We both feel that she's a little fighter and a continuation of Dan's miracle birth story. This is proof that God still performs miracles today, and he can in your life too. So you might be going through something difficult, and it may not be similar to what we're going through. It might be something completely different, but take it to God. You might feel that there's no way out, but take it to God. Rely solely on him, because he will guide your path. And that little verse, Jeremiah 29, I'm just getting it here, sorry, one second. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And we believe if God didn't step in, we wouldn't be here today. Our little miracle. And I've got a long list, hopefully, of babysitters in the church, hopefully.
Woo! Wow, isn't that amazing? We really want to give God the glory for all of those answers to prayers in both of your lives, as individuals and together as well. Thank you so much for being honest and open and vulnerable. And it is so, so much appreciated. God bless you both. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.